Let us pray. Loving and gracious God, we give you thanks. We thank you for your loving kindness and for your tender mercies. We thank you for Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, who knew no sin but became sin for us, became sin to death on a cross. Lord Jesus, we thank you, and we praise your holy name. And now we invite you by your Holy Spirit, Lord Jesus, to be among us, to be in this place, to touch each and every person. God, touch us where we need touching. Lord, by your Holy Spirit, speak, for we're listening. Speak a word of love and a word of hope and a word of peace. Speak, Lord God, and take a hold of me to preach and put me under submission to your holy will. And let the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, because you are our refuge and our strength. You are our Savior and our Lord. Amen. Amen. A sermon title today is Life-Giving Bread. Life-Giving Bread. And this pastor was not going home to be with the Lord. In a couple of years he passed away. He wrote this thing, this brief reflection, saying, filling the hunger of significance. Filling the hunger of significance. 2 years ago, a woman in my audience, she was speaking at a place in my audience, wrote to invite me to visit her if I could. A few weeks ago, I was in her home city, along with my teammate and my wife, he says. The woman was suffering from AIDS, and by that time was dying. She had come here 2 years ago knowing she had AIDS. She hungered for something more than she had found in life. She had found Christ and came here for the deeper teaching and enrichment. When we walked into her apartment, she was absolutely surprised. I'll never forget her expression, he says. Her mom and dad stood next to her with a friend. She looked like a bag of bones. She looked so sick. It was a pathetic sight. She muttered words of gratitude that we had come. We spoke with her and prayed with her. And when I turned to leave, I noticed on the book on her table, The Hunger for Significance by R.C. Sproul. In her loneliest moment, her greatest hunger was being filled, her hunger for significance. That's what our faith in Christ can do. People are able to endure life's unavoidable passages. Today, she is with the Lord. She is with her Lord, and her hunger had been filled. Mother Teresa says, the spiritual poverty of the Western world is much greater than the physical poverty of our people. Hurt the people in the East. You in the West have millions of dollars. You in the West have millions of people who suffer such terrible loneliness and emptiness. There are many folks who we keep buying and doing, and every time our soul is so hungry, we keep adding another item, a new car, a boat, another house, more clothes. We keep adding and adding, and we're still hungry. A book I'm reading that I'll have to write something on mentioned that chef who had killed himself, Matthew Andrew Bourdain. And the writer said he had been at the top of his game. His program was I used to watch it, the name slips me now, had been so popular. He was in a relationship with a woman a wonderful, bright woman. And there it was, at the top of his game, he would sit down and commit suicide. Hunger. Our souls are hungry. And things do not replace it. Things we could keep buying, go from a black car to a red car, you know, a little sport car, whatever it is, and clothes and all of that doesn't replace it. Spiritual poverty. Living bread. Life-giving bread. In all of the Abrahamic religions, bread is important. But bread is important in all culture. And we're not going to talk about carbs and no carbs and all of that, because that's a waste of time. Because bread is one of the most staple and necessary food throughout the world. You could go to the poorest part of South America or Africa, the poorest people will offer you a meal to eat, and there's always some form of bread that you could partake. Flat bread, pita bread, it is a staple, it is a necessity. And it still is. That's why when we can't eat it, we feel so bad when we can't eat the bread. Right? Bread has been symbolic. In religions of Judaism and Christianity, we see that in the Old Testament, bread was very important. In that night when the children of Israel was leaving the Exodus, they had to make the bread, the manna. They had to make that bread and the unleavened bread, because they did not have time to have it raised. And then we see in the gospel story, in the synoptic gospel, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, the Last Supper, it was the bread again. When Jesus shared the bread and said, "This is my body." Bread in Jesus' time, when he walked the earth, was essential and necessary for life. Was sustenant, something that they needed, something they had to live by. So when you see Jesus saying, "I am the bread of life," to that community, Jesus knows, because he knows how to use what is there to make his point. Right? He was trying to say to them, if you think that what you have, that the bread you eat is so important, he's saying, but I am the bread of life. Right? I am, Jesus would say. John Gospels give us the 7 I ams. And I am the bread of life is one of them, right? I am the good shepherd. I am the gate. There are the 7 I ams. This one is, I am the good shepherd. I am the bread of life. And so we read in the gospel, what a story, that the people were following Jesus. Remember last week's story, he had just fed the 5,000. And they were following him. So the scripture says, when the crowd saw that neither Jesus nor his disciples were there, they themselves got into the boats and they left for Capernaum. They were following him. They wanted something else. And when they found him on the other side of the lake, they said to him, "Rabbi, when did you come here?" And here's what Jesus says. Jesus answered them, "Very truly I tell you, you are looking for me, not because you saw signs, but because you ate your fill of the loaves." Jesus was so wise, and he could have very biting words at times. He said, "Do not work for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures for eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you." And what Jesus is making the point, you can't work for this bread, right? It is going to perish. Whatever we have, whatever material we have, material things we have, we are not taking it with us. But it is eternal life, which we can only get from Jesus. So the question for us this morning is, what are we working for? What are we working for? Right? I know we're working to put our kids through college and to have all of that. That's all the earthly thing. But ultimately, Christian believers, what are we working for? And then they said to him, "What must we do? What must we do to perform the works of God?" And Jesus answered them, This is the work of God, that you believe in him who sent me. Jesus says, all you have to do is to believe in him to get this bread of life. That you believe in God who sent him. And then they said to him, what sign are you going to give us then so that we can believe? They wanted to get a sign so that they can believe. What work are you performing? And then they went in to tell him that Moses gave them manna from heaven. Can Jesus do that? And then Jesus came back at them and said, for the bread of God is that which comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. And they said to him, sir, give us this bread also. And Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. Oh, thanks be to God. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry. And whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. Friends, we are here today because we are in the presence of the one who is the bread of life by his Holy Spirit. We know the one. Does it mean that our life is perfect? Does it mean that everything goes well? Jesus has never said that throughout the text. But what it does mean that we have the sustenance, we have that, the bread of life, that we could call on him and he will answer us. And Paul says to the church at Ephesus, he says, do you know why he's the bread of life? Because he descended into hell. He descended into hell and he fought sin and death. And then he ascended again into heaven and has given us the hope of eternal life. Amen? He fought it. He fought sin and death so that we who believe an eternal life does not mean that we live here forever. Friends, it doesn't mean that. It means that he has prepared a place for us that where he is, we can go also. So what is the bread of life for us today? Jesus gives life to the world. First point. Remember from that gospel, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but should have eternal life. Jesus gives life to the world. And let me tell you something. If you don't receive him, if you haven't received him for 40 years, and you decide to receive him in your 41st year, guess what happens? He welcomes you anyhow.
Amen.
Amen. He is like that, waiting always for us to come back to him. Number two, Jesus satisfies the deepest hunger of our souls. There is something that is in our soul that nothing can fill. Have you ever seen people who you think has all the things in the world? You look at them and if you look at them on Facebook, I tell you all my friends, some of us who are struggling either with our weight or struggling with money or struggling, do not follow those people on Facebook with all the pretty things that are going on in their lives. Don't take it on, because it will eat away at your soul. Because if you were to take a peep in the secret places of their lives, you'd be shocked. Give God thanks for what you have and rejoice in what you have.
Amen.
Right? Give God thanks for what God has given you and rejoice. Because you know, we all do it. Most of us, we only put the good things up, unless people are fighting on Facebook. Sometimes they do that. But most of the times, we only put the good stuff to show folks how wonderful our lives is. Yet still, there are many of us souls that are empty. And the only one who could fill it is to be in a relationship with Jesus Christ. Be in a relationship with God. And since I'm a Christian, I'm saying that relationship has to be with Jesus Christ. Amen?
Amen.
That's the one who is the bread of life. Jesus says, I am the bread of life, and whoever comes shall never hunger. You could go through sickness and sorrow and pain, yet you know that he will be with you. Our souls are hungry, and they definitely crave fulfillment. What are our souls hungry for? And how are how are we trying to fulfill these cravings? Our souls are hungry for safety. We are living in a time now during this pandemic and quarantine. Many of us have realized how hungry our souls are. I hope folks are taking quarantine time to sit a while with Jesus. Read the Word of God. Read a book that sustains. These times are time for us to seek the Savior. Seek relationship with Him during these times. Realize that He accepts you just the way you are. That you belong to Him. That He died for you and that He accepts you just the way you are. As imperfect as we are. As cracked pots as we are. Jesus is always calling us in. The third point, Jesus will never cast out those who truly come to Him. He'll never cast you out. He'll never reject you. He says, "But I said to you that you have seen me and yet do not believe. All that the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me, I will never cast out. For I have come down from heaven not to do my will, but to do the will of the one who sent me." Jesus will never cast us out. Good news for us today. And my last point, Jesus will raise us up from the dead.
Amen.
We who die in Christ, we do not die alone. Mm. Amen.
Amen.
We, and I truly believe this, every time I do a funeral, and I make a comparison sometimes when I do a funeral that I know the person is a believer, and I do one that I'm not sure, don't know, because I sometimes go to the funeral home and they'll ask me to do, they'll call me up, and if I'm available, I'll go, and I don't know anything about that individual at all. And then I'll do one of the older person in my church or somebody that I know, a believer. There's a different kind of hope I have. Oh, I tell you, when I do a funeral and it's someone who's lived their life and I know that they've lived it for Christ and I know in my heart, and when I look at them and I read the words, I say to myself, praise the Lord, they have gone home to see Jesus.
Amen.
The joy that fills my soul that they have gone home to be with the Lord. Don't have to wonder, don't have to think. Because Jesus died to give us eternal life. And so, this life-giving bread is for life now and for eternal life. Eternal life. For when we leave this place. Jesus promised that. So if you do not, friends who are online, who are watching, and those who are here, if you do not know Jesus in the pardoning of your sin, if you have never said yes to Him, I'm encouraging you this day to say yes. I'm not telling you life is going to be easy, but what I'm telling you is that He'll never leave you nor forsake you. He'll bring you through. You could call on Him and He'll answer. When friends leave, loved ones leave, parents leave, children leave, the Lord will still be with you.
Amen.
He's a bread that never goes stale. He's a bread that never gets moldy. He is our life-giving bread. Amen.
Amen.
Thanks be to God.